1 and then 4 through 6. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want them to be uninformed. I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. You may be seated. Lord, you are the good, good Father. And we know that. But I hope as we just finish singing that, as we finish worshiping you, as we finish saying those words, that we're not done with that. That we recognize your presence with us all of the time. We do recognize your goodness. And we recognize that because of who you are and because of your goodness, it impacts us and enables us to be someone beyond just who we are by ourselves. But that you desire to manifest yourself, your goodness through us on a daily basis. Lord, help us to understand that today. Help us to embrace that. Help us to live into that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title for today's message is, Are You in Shape? And in case you wondered what this was, I'm not going to tell you how many times this was or wasn't used at my house. But it's called a fitness band. And I did not get it out of the yard sale pile. And this is, I don't even know how to use this. That's how much I've used it. But it's just like we heard from Linda earlier. I've often recognized, I think other than New Year's Day, when people say they're going to get into better habits and they're going to exercise more, probably the other time that I hear people talk more about getting into shape is summertime. I don't know if it's because they want to look good when they go to the beach. I don't know if it's because they have more time to get outside and do, but they talk about getting in shape. And Linda just proved my point in talking about it when she got back and the people there that are exercising at the beach and that type of thing. So being in shape is important, but my mind was exactly the same place hers was as I was preparing this message, is that how much time do we spend considering what spiritual shape we're in instead of just letting things happen? If we aren't intentional about our bodies, about what we put in our bodies physically, the food we put in our bodies, about how much we move and motivate, use our muscles and different things, we aren't going to be in the shape that we would like to be in. The same is true spiritually. And I want us to focus a little bit on that today. That if, I don't know that anyone here has been a part of it, but some of the basis for a lot of what I'm going to be talking about today comes from our Woodland 101 class, where we invite people that are new to the church to come and just find out more about the church and about what's important here and what we do and how we do things. And so just the outline of this has come from there. If you're interested in more, whether you're new to Woodland or not, we're going to have another one of these Welcome to Woodland 101 classes that will begin in the fall. And I welcome you. You'll be able to hear a lot of what I'm talking about today in more detail. But I felt that this was important. So we're going to talk about, are you in shape? And each one of those letters is going to stand for something. And the first one, the S, stands for spiritual gifts. And as we look at what our spiritual gifts are, we have the question of, what has God supernaturally gifted you to do? Now, there are a lot of different things that are listed, a lot of different ways things are listed in the Bible, but this is what I want to go by. I'm going to, and if you go back and look at verse 4, I've already read, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. In other words, these aren't talking about just talents. These are gifts God has given you. There are things you're able to do. There are things God has called you to do because God intends you to do that. That was the way He made you. So I'm going to list some things. I've got to divide them in categories. And I want you to listen. And I really believe that there's at least one, probably more than one of these, that God has gifted you by supernaturally gifted you. Means God has invested that gift in you in a way that he intends there to be a return. You ever heard of investments and returns? God has made this a part of who you are, and he desires you to use it. Listen and see if any of these prick in terms of something that you need to pay more attention to and God may be calling you to be involved in. First is the gift of communicating God's word. These can be in the form of preaching. Most everybody understands what preaching is. Sharing publicly the truth and grace of God in a manner that encourages and challenges other people. Also, there's evangelism. Evangelism is different than preaching. Evangelism focuses on the lost in particular and invites them into a relationship with God. Missions. Missions, in the terms that I understand it in Scripture, and we use it in a wider array sometimes within the church, is willing to adapt to a different culture in order to help them understand more clearly God's love for them. And then there's being an apostle. Apostle, sometimes we have in the Bible used it interchangeably for disciple, but the gift of apostleship means that you're one that is able to start new things. Those that are church planters, those that begin new churches, they would tend to have the gift, the apostolic gift. But it doesn't have to be just starting a church. It can be starting a new ministry because you get excited about that and you understand what God's want to do. Those are some of the gifts that communicate God's words. Here are some others. I'll just list them more quickly. Gifts that educate God's people. Maybe you're gifted in teaching or encouragement or wisdom or discernment or knowledge. And then there are gifts that demonstrate God's love. Perhaps your gifts are service or mercy, hospitality, pastoring, or giving. And then there's the gifts that celebrate God's presence, and just a few of those could be music or arts and crafts. And then last one I listed are prayer-related gifts, and these can be prayers of intercession that you feel called to pray for people that are in challenging situations, healing and miracles. So as you've heard this list, I'm not going to read through them again, but I want to pause long enough for you to think about. Are you using any of these gifts right now? The ones we just mentioned. Because I really believe that God supernaturally invests in our lives these spiritual gifts and expects a return from that. And there's a parable about that that I'm not preaching today, but I can if you want to hear more about it. That's the S. Let's move on to the H. Heart. What do I have passion for and love to do? What is it that just gets you excited? What is it that you enjoy? How do you best express yourself? What I did for this, and I'm going to give you somewhat of a list again. And I started thinking about people at Woodland. And I started thinking about some of the things that I believe they're passionate about from what I see. And you, maybe I was thinking of some of you. But as I say some of these, maybe there are people that come to your mind. But in the midst of that, I want you to be able to come to terms with what you're passionate about too. This is kind of a fun list. First one is drawing. And I have to tell you why I did drawing. We had our family fun night last night. It was lots of fun. Had live entertainment and with Dave Miller and Jesse and about 40 people there and lots of fun. But one of the things in the midst of that we were doing were crafts. And there was this 5-year-old named Andrew. And Andrew, I am not kidding, we had a coloring activity and he sat down, and I wish I had it with me. He colored in tie-dye. I am not making that up. He was coloring a picture, and he did it, and not only did he just color the different colors, he blended them. 5 years old. Nobody giving him instruction. He had a tie-dye coloring picture when he was done. And everybody was amazed, but he was, when his mom said, you know, he's 5 years old, but that's like one of the few things that he'll just really sit down and do. Now, I don't know what God may do with that, but God gifts people in that way and uses it. Now, I'm not artistic at all, so I can't even begin to relate to that, but God uses those gifts. Others are singing, playing music, writing, speaking, working with your hands, building things, helping others, cooking. I really appreciate that passion. Teaching children, caring for the elderly, organizing things, exercising can be a passion that some people have. Sports can be a passion that people have. Traveling, meeting new people, spending time with close friends. Those are just a few things I thought of in terms of what I think passions could be. Now I want you to hear this. We have to be careful, or these passions can compete with God's rightful place in our life. Now, those passions are a part of who we are, and God made us. But if we're not careful, those passions become so important, and we live only into the passions, that God isn't allowed to be a part of that. One example, and I can't not share it, and maybe it's a little bit because I'm a Cavalier, but Tony Bennett, who is the basketball coach for the Cavaliers, has quickly become one of my boy's favorite role models, and I couldn't be more happy. Now, he's one that he's serious about basketball, and he took UVA basketball a long ways this year, and there were some exciting things, but he unapologetically talks about the fact that his basketball program is structured on five pillars, and those pillars are grounded in Scripture. And he talks to his players about God and about Scripture. Now, he doesn't do it in a way that's inappropriate, but he took his passion, his love for basketball, and combined that with who God had called him to be. And he's impacting not just UVA and players there and fans everywhere. He's impacting my two boys through his sports. Now, that's a positive way. There's another way. You can get so consumed in sports and it becomes so important to you that it causes you to react and do things that God doesn't want us to do. That's an example of how our passions can get in the way of who God calls us to be. But instead, God wants us to use our passions to enable us to grow closer to Him and bring others closer to Him as well. So that was the H. The A are our abilities. What natural talents and skills do you have? And if we go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and then verse 6. Verse 6 there said, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one it has the same God at work. So God is our goal, God is our purpose, but what are the natural talents, skills, abilities that you have? Think about that. Think about the person beside of you. What are their skills and abilities? As I was doing this, I was going around, so I thought of my two sons. Noah, one of his skills, one of his abilities is math. The boy can already do a math problem quicker than I can, and math was my favorite subject when I was in high school. He's just good at it. He likes it. We're going down the road, and for fun, he'll say, Dad, give me a math problem. He just enjoys it. That's a skill that he has. So I think at some point in some time, God may be able to use that. Caleb pays great attention to detail. He's one of those that if he can leave a room and he can probably tell what half the people in here are wearing. I mean, he remembers that detail is really good. In fact, Caleb by himself put together a shelf that we put in our bathroom yesterday. And he got the instructions out, read it, put the shelf together, all by himself. That's a gift. That's an ability that he has. Now, Noah and Caleb don't have the same abilities. None of us in here have the exact same abilities, but we're to use them, what we do have, for the purpose that God has called us. Brings us to the P, personality. What does my personality best suit me to serve? Where does my personality best suit me to serve. What is your personality? I'm going to throw out some words. Introvert, extrovert. Quiet, loud. Eccentric, practical. Organized, spontaneous, cautious. On the go, prefer to stay in one place. What is your personality? When we come to church, when we come to Christ, when we explore our faith, all too often, we feel like we come and people want to change us. They want to make us into something that we don't understand, that we're not comfortable with. Now, God is going to enable us to grow, to become more the person God wants us to be. But there must very much be a sense that God's called us to live into being the person that He created us to be. We're to embrace the personality God's given us. Now, that doesn't mean that we take that and just not pay attention to where God's leading us, but God calls us based on the way He has equipped us, the way He's made us. And that includes our personality as well. Job chapter 10, verse 8 says this. Job chapter 10, first part of verse 8. Your hands shaped me and made me. God knows everything about you. And that doesn't mean just physically. That's your personality too. And sometimes that seems somehow or another to be connected to your parents or other relatives, but God made them too. And I'm not going to go there with this sermon, but if you continue to read that book of the Bible, Job is in a rough place. Job is having a hard time, but even in the midst of that struggle, when Job is at the end of his rope and doesn't know what else to say and is pleading to God, he still acknowledges, "Your hands shaped me and made me." God created us. It wasn't an accident. So we have no right, none, to sell ourselves short by saying, "I'm not good enough. I can't make a difference. Somebody else is better than me." And use that as a reason to be a knot on a log. God has a purpose and a plan. And spiritually, we need to get into shape. Just like Linda challenged us when we started with, we need... It's much more important. It's an important thing. I think it's even biblical that we should try to work on having our bodies in shape. But spiritually, we need to be in shape as well. And we need to take this seriously. The last one. Experience. What spiritual experiences have you had? Well, to think about this, this is what I want to do. There's some questions there that I put in the bulletin, but I've decided I didn't want to focus too much on those. Instead, I want you to think of it this way. If you were to walk down this hallway, we were to open that door, you walk down the hallway by yourself. The beginning of the hallway right here represents your birth. The other end of the hall represents today. And you walk down there, and all along the walls, ceiling, floor, everywhere, you see pictures, you see videos, you see everything depicting every aspect of your life. Every person you've ever encountered. Every painful experience you've ever had. Every accomplishment you've ever made. You see all of that. God does not cause everything in our life to happen. He does allow it. Because He could stop it if He chose to. And there are some questions about why doesn't He at times. But what I can promise you is God desires for every experience that you have to be used to benefit your relationship with Him, your witness to others, and the kingdom. And if we allow that to happen, no matter how painful the experience may be, no matter what the accomplishment may be, no matter what mistakes we may have made, that's a part of our spiritual shape or our experiences. And sometimes we had a choice in those experiences and sometimes we didn't. That doesn't matter. But are you hearing what I'm saying? God desires us to be close to Him and to bring others along to Him as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Those experiences we talked about, the gifts that you have, whatever they may be, God desires all of that to come together. It's not just a nice sounding verse that's in the Bible, it's truth. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Every one of us here have been called according to His purpose. And if we love God, if we care about Him, we desire to live into our spiritual gifts, to recognize that the passions we have a purpose beyond just making us feel good, to live into our abilities, not to claim that ours aren't as good as someone else's, to be true to who we are, to our personality, not try to be somebody we're not, and then truly embrace those experiences. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. And I went through today's message a little quicker than I usually do, which I'm sure Noah and Robert are happy for. I hope maybe that leaves you some space. What shape are you in? If you think physically, I expect every person in this room would say there's something they do that you wish you were in better physical shape. And you can probably put your hands on some of those things that you could do. And you can also put your finger on what it is that keeps that from happening. I want us to do the same thing spiritually. Do you really want to be in better spiritual shape? You see, we're talking about serving, but just for a moment, I want to put that in the context of the church. When we serve, it's not just about serving in the church, but the church is an important place to recognize. You see, there are a lot of God. When God created us for this purpose, to recognize those spiritual gifts and live into our passions and have those abilities and personalities and experiences. And if we don't have that, if we don't live into that, there's going to be an emptiness. There's going to be a sense in which we wonder, what is our purpose in life? What are we supposed to be doing? Or we can be accomplishing a lot of these different things, but it just doesn't seem worthwhile. It doesn't seem to be making a difference. And maybe you're there. And this could be one of those reasons, because we're not in shape spiritually. But even if you are accomplishing that in moral way you need to, I want to tell you there are people that you meet every day. There are people in our community. There are people in your family that are yearning for a different type of life. And they don't know how to put their finger on it. But this is it. They've got all the tools. They've got what God created to give them. The church should be a place we can come and share that. I want to tell you this last thing about something that happened. There's a new family that's come to our church. Last Sunday was the first Sunday they attended. They came to Family Fun Night last night. Not only did they come, they were some of the first ones there and asked what they could help to do. And they were among the last ones to leave, because this new family, who had only come and sat in this sanctuary once for a worship service, moved tables, folded chairs and put them away, swept the floor, and took the trash to the dumpster. They desired to have a place. They desired to be a part. And so a lot of people don't feel confident enough to offer that and be a part of it, so they need inviting. But people yearn to be a part of something. Very rarely does someone want to be a part of some just come and sit and be there. They want to be involved. And so we need to encourage that, and the church needs to be a place that can happen. So these things need to be lived out in the church, and we need to invite others to come. Are you willing to do that, not only for yourself, but for those around you? I invite you to respond as we have our invitation. I'll be here at the front. Maybe you know how it is you need, what steps you need to take to get into spiritual shape. I'd love to pray with you about that, or the altar's here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to talk to you about that first step as well. But let's stand together and sing, "Take My Life."